हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीं दूरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो I think he talked about verse 23, isn't it? Yeah. Verse 23 was Shaknodi Haiva Yasodham Prak Sharira Vimokshanad Kama Krodod Bhavam Vegam Sayukta Sasukhi Nara. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is a yogi and is happy in this world. So that's the one we were talking about. So as I mentioned before, that the important thing is in here is praksharira vimokshana. Before we leave this body, and we mentioned also that about meditations, isn't it? So in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there talks about Saril Samudramsha Hare Shariram. Pipalayana Maharshi says there, isn't it? Sarit Samudramsha Hare Shariram. In other words, all the rivers, mountains, oceans, everything is Krishna's body. It is Krishna's body. Praname Dhananya. That knowing very well that they are not different from you, I pay my obeisances to them. Who says this? Pipalayana Maharshi says there in that. So, in other words, you can see from that, in all these things, the spiritually advanced people, they see the soul behind it. That's their beauty. In other words, anywhere they go, they will only take what matters to them. Sanidhyam, I mentioned that. Sanidhyam, their presence, from that, what they have to learn, they have to take from that. Other things are not important from them. So, sanidhi, that is what it is, the sanidhi. So, if we do not take that attitude in spiritual life, what will happen is that when we go and visit a Mahatma, our mind will take over everything. In association, while associating with Mahatmas, I'm talking about genuine Mahatmas who have come to realize the truth, while associating with them, there are certain things to be taken care of. Otherwise, we will get affected by the association. So for example, just like they mention, Saril Samudramsha Harire Shariram, when they see the ocean or the rivers or the mountains or forests and things like that, in everything they will not allow the mind to interfere. Chittavritti won't be there when they see these things. That's their position, that they don't allow the mind to come in and interfere in their vision. When they see rivers, when they see mountains, when they see the forest, they should see them without the chittavritti interfering in that. Because once the chittavritti comes in, you will see it as matter. You will not see it as the spirit behind it. So therefore, chittavritti should not come, or mind should not, chittavritti means mind. Mind should not interfere in their vision of these things. That's why that understanding of the material creation, seeing as Brahman, is a different understanding than the way we see it with our naked eyes, with the naked eyes. Similarly, when we see Mahatmas also, if we go through the mind to associate with them, if you go to them with the mind to associate with them, you will see their beard, you will see their dress, you will see their matted hair, or whether you will start asking which parampara does he come from, how many disciples has he got, what was his life prior he took to sannyas, and does he speak English, or has he learned Sanskrit, or all kinds of thoughts will develop inside. This comes from the mind. This comes from the mind. Therefore, but that does not help. Without knowing all those things, one has to know how to take the sannidhyam from that person. Sannidhyam means that that person has realization, spiritual realizations. That's all what matters to us. It does not matter to us which parampara he has come from. And that's why you can't think, see what's happening now, in the name of parampara, we are falling into the institutional trap. And then you are lost. That means mind has come in, and mind is telling you, don't go with that, don't go with this. You shouldn't hear from him, you shouldn't hear from this person, like that. If you come to that attitude, then in spiritual life it's very hard. You won't get the benefit of the Mahatmas. Mahatmas benefit means wherever Mahatmas are there, that when you know that they are genuine Mahatmas, and what they speak is sensible, and it is helping in your advancement in spiritual life, parampara and other things are not that the important criteria there. There you have to have, otherwise if you look at them in this way, through the, this is the mind of the people, that, oh, which parampara does he come from? Which way has he put the tilak on? What kind of shikha he has got? And is he wearing saffron? What was he in his previous ashram? How many disciples has he got? Has he learned Sanskrit? And does he speak English? All these kind of questions is all completely on a mental level. But sannidhyam is something different than that. If in the association of that person, if our chittavritti comes off, stops there, and you are able to absorb, you don't need to have to know the name of that person. Even that's not important, knowing the name of the person. Because once you know the name, then the problem starts from there itself. And so once we know the name, we will go and tell somebody else about this such and such a person has said. And then the other person to whom you have told, he will say something, and then the mind will go in that direction, and that will not help. So in these topics, one has to stay very alert. In satsangam, one has to learn how to take the sannidhyam and to leave. And if you do like that, dhyanam will happen easily without too much of a problem. Whereas the mind will take you away from dhyanam. So in order to have dhyanam or meditation inside, chittavritti must come to a stop, and only you have to allow those things, what's important in relationship with the spirit soul, should be allowed to let in. Not things which are not related to the soul. That should not be allowed to let inside. So, although dhyanam means in the sannidhyam of jnanis, in their presence, if it's not there, that in material age, in the material world, there are jnanis, because, for example, sun is a jnani, isn't it? From whom the solar dynasty and the jnanamargam has come from the sun. Air is a jnani. Mountains are jnanis. And even if you observe them carefully, it will bring that peace inside. The ultimate goal is that there is peace inside for spiritual knowledge to develop further. When there is no peace, constantly there is chitavritti. That is not possible. Shanti cannot happen. So, even if we do not have satsangam sometimes, if you just stay quietly and observe the sun, observe the mountains or oceans or rivers, even that brings you peace inside. Because spiritual life is an individual thing one has to pay attention to. Remember, Tapavana Swamiji told his disciple that you just go to Haridwar, walk away from all this world, sit down near Ganga River every day and just look at the Ganga River every day. Just observe the Ganga River flowing and that will bring you your spiritual advancement. So powerful is the Sanidhyam, because Ganga Devi, when you see Ganga River flowing, so many those who have studied Shastra will understand her significance. Coming from Mahadeva's hair, matted hair, how she came down to this world, all that thing. So he did that and then he spent a lot of his time just by sitting there and observing Ganga flowing. That is a Sanidhyam, that is association. Because there is no other chitavati coming and disturbing you. Whereas when you are dealing with people, there is all other aspects of the personality comes in. And you start seeing that person in that way. And then you start developing ragadvesham. Straight away ragadvesham comes in. So, these entities like rivers, mountains, oceans, they all have a strong effect on person if one takes it seriously. And we find, but then for that you have to develop that nature in oneself, that to be aloof from others. Otherwise it's not possible. We are used to have everything doing together, isn't it? And we have to have the feast together, eat together, sleep together, this kind of thing. That's not very favorable in spiritual life. Krishna is also says there in that one has to learn where to withdraw from this world. So even the Sandhyavandanam, that means when the sun rises and the sun sets, and even there can be contact with the sun. In your own mind, in your own inside, in your thoughts, it comes in that way. So all pure things in this world, keeping contact with them is satsangam. Pure, anything that's pure. Even Mahatmas who are very pure, keeping contact with them is satsangam. Keeping contact with them is satsangam. That's why sun is pure and Ganga River is pure, or all the famous rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri, Saraswati, all of them are pure rivers, isn't it? They're all personalities and they're all Mahatmas in their own right. So association with them is going to help us in spiritual life. That is satsangam. And at least temporarily we forget ourselves. Our false ego goes away. So that will turn into dhyanam, meditation. So due to that dhyanam, that meditation, atmanubhavam, or the realization of the soul will happen. And what will happen at that time? Mind will become andarmukham. Andarmukham means it will go inward looking. This mind which is so external, to turn that inward looking is not an easy thing. It takes a long, long time, because mind only knows now the world outside. It doesn't know anything about the internal world, isn't it? So, and that is what Krishna is talking in the next verse. 24. Text 24. Yonda sukho andaram aramas. Tathandar jyoti revayam sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto di gacchati yo andas sukho andararamas tathandar jyoti revayam sayogi brahma nirvanam Brahma bhuto di gacchati. Yo andasukho andararamas tadhandar jyotir evaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto adhigacchati. One whose happiness is within, who is active within, who rejoices within, and is illumined within, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Just see. Andasukaha, this is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. You can see all those verses requires deep analysis, because otherwise each of those words, who is Andasukha, who is Andararama, who is Andarjodi, Evaya, Sayogi, Brahma Nirvanam, Brahma Bhudodi Gachadi. There is difference between all of them. Andasukha is different from Andarama and Andarjodi. All these are different. So, let's look at that. One whose happiness is within, who is active within, who rejoices within, and is illumined within, is actually the perfect mystic. In other words, you can see none of us are mystics, are we? None of us have any trace of all these things. No happiness inside, not active inside, not rejoicing inside, and not illumined within. So, everything you can see, it's what's happening inside is more important. This is why spiritual life is an internal thing, and there cannot be any conflicts, nor there cannot be any, you have to be 100% truthful about that also. That honesty pays here. In all other transactions in this world, there may be crookedness and there may be dishonesty. That is the nature of this world. But once we come to spiritual life, everything has to be very honest, and it has to be, you cannot play politics there inside. If the things involved inside is concerned, you have to have complete straightforwardness, and there cannot be any, and that is how all the great Mahatmas maintain themselves, because they have moved away from this world. They have gone to a much higher plane, and in that plane they know that these sort of things doesn't function, it cannot work there. It's only due to ignorance people act in that way. So, andar sukha, andar almaha, andar jodihi. Three things there. So, in normal level, we have happiness outside, isn't it? And we have to go outside and engage in that for our happiness. And where do we get the knowledge? We get the knowledge from outside. Outside. And that means these three things, when you start getting from inside, andar sukha, andar aramaha, andar jodihi. All these things for us normally it's from outside the world, outside the body. I mean, it's from the world we get it. Happiness means you want to go outside to get it. And to enjoy, we have to go outside. For knowledge, we have to go outside. For everything, we have to go outside. So, when you start, Krishna is talking about it. For a person who starts getting it from inside, it is his symptoms Krishna is discussing here. Andar sukha, andar aramaha, andar jodihi. So, for him, he knows very well there is no happiness outside. That's the first thing. He has no brahmam. We have this thing called brahmam, isn't it? Brahma means what? Brahma means some misapprehension or misunderstanding that sukham is only outside. There is no sukham inside. Happiness is not inside. So he doesn't have that brahmam. And this, what actually happens is, when we are experiencing some sukham outside, from outside, it is actually the sukham from inside or happiness from inside is reflecting through that to us. That's why we feel happiness from the objects outside. The sukham is coming from inside. Remember this? Priyam comes from inside. Priyam reflects on somebody back to us, and we feel priyam towards that person. That's what it is. But the source of the priyam is inside, not outside. We misunderstand that person is giving the priyam. Priyam is not coming from the person. Priyam is coming from inside. It goes and reflects on some person, comes back to you, and you feel priyam towards that person. That's what it is. So priyam, wherever it reflects, it will bring happiness to you. Wherever it reflects, it will bring happiness. So priyam is not based on the person. It is coming from inside. So andar almaha, andar jodihi, andar aramaha. He knows this very well, where the priyam is coming from. So, and he finds this, keep on giving attention to the soul, and he will acquire that happiness from inside. And in that happiness, he feels complete satisfaction. Complete satisfaction and great happiness in their anandam. So, if you look into Upanishads, it mentions that Upanishads only just talk in few words, everything what they have to say. Because that's how the Upanishads were mentioned. And they don't go into explaining these things. But in Taittiriya Upanishad, it says this. That what it says is that, Anando brahmedi vejanat, anandatyeva khalitmani bhudani jayandi, anandena jatani jivandi, anandam pratyandam imsavishandiri, saisha bhargavi varuni vidya, parame vyoma pradishtita, sa evam veda pradishtiti, annavan annado bhavadi, mahan bhavadi, prajaya, pashubir brahmavarchasena, mahan kirtya, idi shashto anuvakaha. This is the discussions between Bhrigu and Varuna. Remember, Taittiriya Upanishad is mentioned as the discussions between Bhrigu and Varuna. It says here, Anandam Esham Bhargavi. So there, after this, once who has come to that state of happiness inside, the main thing he says here, they won't ask any more questions. Questions are all over because you started experiencing it, isn't it? Questions are only, this question answer business is a complete, not a system ever followed. But you will see in the Upanishads also, questions were asked, but answer is to come from inside. It's not given from outside. If the answer is coming from inside, you can say that his shravanam, hearing, he is correct, and his reflection is correct, and he is progressing spiritual path. If the answer is not coming from inside, still he's going on asking for answers everywhere, that means there is no mananam happening inside. That's what it means. And his shravanam is also not good. Shravanam is not very good. So, once who are in that state, anandam, it says here, isn't it? Anandam pratyandam imsa vishandidi saisha bhargavi varuni vidya. Anandena jadani jivandi. It only talks about anandam. Once anandam means this bliss, blissful nature. Bliss is brahmam. That bliss, what one experiences from inside, that is brahmam. That means this priyam, when it comes out, or bliss that comes from inside, that's brahmam. Only thing, our attention is not on there. Attention is on the object where it's going to. And that's where the problem comes. When the priyam comes from towards other people or towards other objects in this world, if we know the source where it's coming from and if our attention is on the source, then that priyam won't cause any problem. But as soon as the priyam comes and falls onto some object where it's reflecting from, your attention falls on that, then there is a problem. That means attachment develops there. Attachment develops towards the object. These are all very subtle level, all these things happening in everyday life, and all the time. So, such a happiness comes, you will not look outside anymore. And Krishna says here, andar sukha. So, if such a happiness started experiencing one, then the mind becomes andarmukham. Andarmukham means it goes inward looking. If once we experience a little bit of that happiness from inside, then mind will turn andarmukham. All great mahatmas were like that. Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam means outside world is not their field of activity. Mind is gone inward looking and mind is feeling, experiencing this happiness because attention has fallen on the soul. And there is a happiness coming from the soul. In other words, soul brings you to understanding that I am eternal. I am not this temporary material body. And by nature, my soul is not touched by any of these things in this world, what goes on here. It has nothing to do with me. But in my ignorance, I have identified with all these things in this world. And I am suffering happiness and distress, raga, dvesham, kartratva, bhoktratvam. All these things have happened because of that. And that is not the fault of the soul, it's my fault that I have given attention to all these things. And we might turn inward looking like that and feels identity with the soul, then you feel, start realizing the shanti naturally comes from there, the bliss comes from there. So such a person, one whose mind is completely absorbed in that, maybe not all the time, but for some time, That is called Andarsukha. Krishna says the first word, Andarsukha. Andarsukha, Andar Aramaha, Andar Jyotihi. Three words Krishna has used there. So, one whose mind has gone inwards and who is not interested at all in what goes on in this world outside, knowing very well that all these things have no permanent existence and they are not even real things. These things have come from inside. They didn't come from outside. All this material world, what is existing there, it's only existing because we have this mind inside. If there is no mind, the world doesn't exist, doesn't it? So that's why the whole this science of the soul is centered around the internal activities, what goes on inside a person. And if we don't do that, develop that side, only the external world, if we keep on working with that, you will see life after life we'll be doing externally everything. But internally there will be a big vacuum. There will be a complete emptiness inside. And that's why after so many years chanting and other things, people are asking this question, what has happened now? I chanted so many years, nothing has happened. How will it happen? When you are not giving attention inside, simply on the external platform, if you operate our spiritual life, then that spiritual life won't last very long. It will, one day or the other, it will break down. So, Andasukha, that's what Andasukha means. He has to experience that happiness from the soul, Priyam that comes from the soul, and recognizing that there is no Priyam outside. Priyam is the source, is the soul. In other words, he has found the happiness inside. Andar Almaha, after experiencing that happiness inside, there is a state afterwards when he comes out. After experiencing the happiness inside. Initially, we start for meditation, dhyanam. It is through dhyanam that this happens. Dhyanam process helps us to develop this andasukham. Andasukham. Because dhyanam becomes, dhyanam means what? Dhyanam means going inwards. That's dhyanam, isn't it? Dhyanam is going inwards. So when we go inwards and we start seeing this beauty of the soul and recognizing these qualities of the soul, satta, citta, anandam, and the importance of the soul, and we become completely absorbed in that, after a while we start experiencing andasukha, that is sukham that comes from the soul. After a while it will come out that andarmukhatvam will may come out sometimes externally. And that is why that dhyanam, when it comes out, it will experience that happiness from inside. The soul is strong inside. So now and then when he gets into vyavaharam somewhere, you will lose that dhyanam. You will lose that dhyanam. It won't be continuous, in other words. Initially it will be like that. You'll go inwards, stay some time in that state, then you will come out and do vyavaharam in this world. That's how it will be. It's not that one day you go in and everything is finished here. No. You go, then you come out. Then you go in, again come out. So this become a sort of a routine thing. So in the process of self-realization, it becomes a routine thing. But continuous experience is not happening at that time. Continuously, it's not happening. So you will experience some happiness for some time and then it has left you. After that, it has left you. So, so Andar Sukha and Andar Aramaha, the difference is, once you have gone inward and you are permanently established there, then you are become Andar Aramaha. Then you won't come out again. Very, very rarely it will happen. Very, very rarely it will happen. Andar Sukha is such a person, he has found happiness there, but then he comes out. Now and then. He gets some happiness, then he comes out. And then he goes in again and he comes out. But Andar Aramaha is little higher than that. There he has gone inward to such an extent that he does not want to come back anymore. He is fully fixed there, inside in the soul. In the Acharya Paramparas, all these things have happened. Different people are at different levels. Some people are Andar Aramaha, some people are Andar Sukha. And so naturally in their relationships also, this will have that differences in them. That's why different Acharyas act in different levels. Some personalities who are completely Andar Aramaha, they will not have any time for anything else. They are so up in that level, in that state. Whereas Andar Sukha, they will come out and do all other administration work and management and other things. They will be busy with that also, along with their andasukhatvam. Andasukha, they will do other things as well. So that's what mentioned here. they So once they received that insight, the permanently inside, so there they have they're saying that has become their home. Once they've gone in and you have permanently settled down inside, it has become their home, not a lodge anymore. Goes and stays and comes back. So permanent residence, they can live inside. And not only that, they can always go there whenever they want, permanently. They can go there, sit there, or anytime they not feel like, they can come, but not go to the world outside. But from the state where they are, they can go inward and go back again and live there. So, just like people, say, come to the city, to see the city. Say somebody comes to London and he comes with a rucksack and some luggage. He comes as a tourist to see London. And some people, well, as soon as they come to London, they want to go around looking down the whole city. They want to wander around. But some others, they'll go and find an accommodation first where they can stay and leave all their luggage safely there. And then they will go outside looking for the place everywhere. So this difference is always there. because while they are seeing the city, anytime if they want, if they're feeling tired or exhausted, they can go back and rest in the house where they have got a room to stay. So these people are like that. They will perform sometimes vyavaharam in this world, but he can return back, come back and to the source. He can come back to the source. That is one state. Andhra Aramaha means one who is experiencing it inside. And even if they go outside, still they are experiencing this. In their experience, that Andhra Aramaha is always there. In other words, all the time they are feeling the happiness of the soul. Feeling the happiness of the soul. That is said Andhra Aramaha. Rama, Arama means to experience that bliss. Experiencing the bliss is Aram. So, this is the reason why among the jnanis, there is differences among them. Different levels they are at. Andhar Sukha. One who has got Andhar Sukham or inward experience of the bliss inside, he is a jnani. He is a jnani. But if he has to do something in this world afterwards, if he has to do something in this world, he cannot stay as Andhar Aramaha. It is not possible for one who is in the Andhar Sukha stage. He cannot be Andhar Aramaha. So, in the Sringeri tradition, Sringeri Math, Chandrasekhara Bharati was Andhra Aramaha. He was Andhra Aramaha. Why? Because it was so difficult for him to come to the world, to do anything. His disciple, Abhinav Vidyatirtha, he was not in that state, like his spiritual master. Chandrasekhara Bharati was Abhinav Vidyatirtha's spiritual master. Abhinav Vidyatirtha was Andhasukha, but he could be Andhra Aramaha sometimes, but not to the extent that Chandrasekhara Bharati was. There was a difference. You will see the story if I tell you what happened between the guru and the disciple. How, what level they are operating. They are not operating in the level what we talk about, spiritual master and the disciple. That Adhyatma Dhyana Niradaha Vishayabhyam. So, it came to a stage for Chandrasekhara Bharati that he couldn't do anything after that, because of this situation. Sadhatma dhyana niradam vishayebhya parang mukham. Sada atma dhyana niradam. Always absorbed in the soul. Vishayebhya parang mukham. Anything related to sense objects or any activity with the senses has become completely difficult. If you look at his photograph also, you will see that. He is looking, but where is he looking? Nobody knows where he is looking. Eyes are open, But he is not fixed anywhere. He's not fixed anywhere. He's just eyes as though some holes in the body. Holes in the body. Whereas when you look at so many people in photograph, you can straight away say, he's looking at this, he's looking at that. But with you, if you look at his photo, you won't see where he is looking even. Because eyes are just holes there. Nothing is coming out. The mind is not coming out through that. And so that's what he's saying here. So, the problem is, when they are in that state, the people in the world don't know these things. They won't know these things, isn't it? They only see the body of a person. Inside what's going on, they are not aware of that. So, because of that, he was so powerful in his ability to do something about people. That means someone who has come to him, all kinds of people used to come to him looking for different opinions or help. But by and large, he stayed aloof from everybody. But naturally, he had to have another successor when he had to leave the mutt. And even while being there, as in charge of the mutt, the administration was conducted by the managers, administrators and all that. It has to be always like that. Spiritually advanced people, they should have the upper hand, not the administrators and the managers. If administrators and managers start dictating to the spiritually oriented people, then it is chaos. Then it won't work. And that's what's happening many times. The administrators who are running the day-to-day administration of the building maintenance and fund collection and all that, if they start controlling the show, then there won't be any spirituality there. Now that's very strong these days. That everywhere, administrators want to control and the others have to fall in line with that. Person preaching Krishna consciousness, he cannot be controlled by these kind of things. That is only there. Administration management is only for keeping the building going or keeping the other things. But that has nothing to do with the spiritual knowledge. So Chandrasekhar Bharati was very clear on this point. He would not allow anybody to interfere in his spiritual position. And so naturally, fortunately, those days people had that culture. So it was easier. They know their position. The people who are running the mutt, because day-to-day administration also has to go on. And therefore, they, knowing very well what their role is, they will not interfere in the affairs of the spiritually oriented people who are preaching or who are presenting, who have given up their selfish interests in preaching Krishna consciousness or whatever they are doing in spiritual life. They will be recognized and they will be honored and respected properly. So that is the difference. And then they would not interfere. And Chandrasekhar Bharati, right from the beginning, told them that I don't want this position. It was pushed on to him. There's a lot of pressure from his spiritual master to take that role. So in order to oblige, he took the role. But spiritually, he did not want to get disturbed over the administration, the management. In the sense that he knew that as a Atmaradihi, he has come to that stage already. And for him, he doesn't need an institution for himself. But it was only for the benefit of the world he stayed in that position. So when Abhinav Vidyatirtha was 11 years old, when Chandrasekhar Bharati decided to take him on board as the next his successor. These acharyas are never been any time, any sense gratification in life. Right from early days in life starts the spiritual life. They come from such backgrounds also. So it was not difficult. So Abhinav Vidyatirtha was taken over. His name was by the administrator, brought him towards him. And he was a little child, and for a few days he observed his vasanas. He could see inside what's going on with the child. That's how he picked him up from that. So they were such competent people that seeing a person and seeing inside what that subtle body is of that person, they could make that judgment of a person. So because of that, Abhinav Vidyatirtha, he thought that is a proper candidate for the next acharya's position, brought him in. And from then on, that he stayed with him for first 14 days and observed him very carefully, whether he has got the right vasanas. Because if the vasanas are not there inside, it will be a disaster inside. If the vasanas are some other vasanas, what will happen? You put all the titles on him and make him acharya and all that. Then after 10 days, he runs after some sense gratification. This will happen. We have seen that so many times happening. The vasana is not there. What can you do? So till the right vasanas are not there, when we do things, this kind of situation will happen. So, so after 10, 14 days, he realized this child's vasanas, how they are like. And then he called him and gave him sannyasam straight away. At the age of 14, he gave him the sannyasam. So, after giving sannyasam, for 12 days, continuously in the night, in the sleep, Lord Shiva appears to him, to this child. And every night, Shiva is teaching him one of the asanas or the yoga practices, yoga system. Yoga Darshanam, it is called. Lord Shiva is the acharya of that. He is teaching him in every night in the dream a particular yoga system. And as soon as he is finished teaching, Lord Shiva leaves in the night. Abhinav Vidyadhartha, this young boy, wakes up. What he has learned in the dream, he practices it and gets it perfect the same day. It is unusual, quite unusual thing. By whose arrangement is this? His spiritual master's arrangement is this. Chandrasekhara Bharati has arranged these things to happen. Shiva appears in the dream, teaches him the yoga system, and in the morning he is perfect with the yoga system. As soon as he sleeps, the dream starts. As soon as the dream starts, Shiva comes. Shiva comes and starts teaching him in the dream. Continuously for 12 days this happened. For 12 days this happened. You can see Abhinav Vidyadhartha, if you look at his life later on and observe the way how he maintained his consciousness throughout life, never any disturbances inside, total control on the mind all the time. So because of all this yoga system, learning from Shiva directly, Abhyasam started, and eventually all the education was in the dream state. All the education happened in the dream state, not in the vacant state. So, all this has happened due to Chandrasekhara Bharati's mercy. Chandrasekhara Bharati's mercy. He was in such a state that he could teach people like this. And Abhinav Vidyadhartha every day was feeling more and more devoted to his spiritual master because of this. Early age, so no bad vasanas inside, and experiences like this. So you can imagine what will happen in a child like that. At such an early age, no other material thoughts have gone in, like envy and greed and all such things have not even allowed to get in. Before that, they have picked him up. And plus, every night this experience is coming. So you can imagine what kind of situation that was. So every day he had this experience, and he will go and report this to Chandrasekhara Bharati. And Chandrasekhara Bharati will smile when he gets a report, because it's already happened due to his arrangement. So one day, Chandrasekhara Bharati was a devotee of Lord Nrisimha. Lord Nrisimha. That Sringeri Math is connected to Lord Nrisimha. So he was performing meditation on the Nrisimha Murthy. Lord Nrisimha, he was doing the meditation. So Abhinav Vidyadhartha came there and paid his obeisances to him. Alma bhodehi taram gosmi ahamidi sadadam bhavayan andarenge. He says there at that time, Alma bhodehi taram, that Alma bhodam, that consciousness of the soul was so much in him, that ahamidi sadadam bhavayan andarenge. Andarenge means internally, I am that has come to him, that state of consciousness. And that means that full awareness of the soul inside, its presence. And where is the whole world coming? World is coming from the soul, isn't it? The material world outside what we are experiencing, it's coming from the soul. Why? Because only when you are aware of yourself, you are aware of the world, isn't it? That awareness inside us is making us aware of the world outside. So this thing called awareness is such an important thing, which is the beauty of the soul, isn't it? Like Mike has no awareness. We have awareness, isn't it? So that is the difference between Mike and us. Mike has no awareness. It's just sitting there. It does not know what it's doing. It goes through. It's been tuned in a particular way that it does that work. Whereas us, when we do something, we are aware of it. We are aware of it. That means that is, other side is, because of that awareness, we have kartratvam and bhoktratvam. Because of the awareness. Mike has no kartratvam, bhoktratvam. In that sense, Mike is more advanced. But on the other hand, we are aware of everything, that awareness is inside and that's way. So in that prajna, that is called prajna, that means that consciousness, that is pure, pure consciousness. And in that pure consciousness is where chittavritti is coming. In that pure consciousness, that everything, the whole world is coming from the soul, that Atma, and from Atma it begins. The whole creation is coming from the Atma, isn't it? Because Atma, with its awareness, is able to see all this, this whole creation. If that awareness was not there, world doesn't exist for us, isn't it? So many things in this creation, we don't know anything. Why is that? Because we are not able to experience that through any of the senses, isn't it? Any of the senses. This world we are concerned. Why? Because we are seeing it through the eyes. So for our awareness can go through the eyes and experience the world. But it's awareness that is important, not the eyes, not the world. Eyes and the world are not important. See, our modern science and everything gives importance to the world outside and the eyes through which we are seeing. Vedantam says to us, eyes are not important, the world is not important, the person who is experiencing is important, because it is that experience is coming from him, not from the world or from the eyes. You see? That we have to be very clear all the time. Otherwise, we will get misled. When we study Shastram, these are important things. That awareness is coming from the soul. If that awareness is not there, where is anything else in this world? Buildings and other things, doesn't matter. So from that awareness, first thing is coming the chittavritti. In that awareness comes chittavritti. Chittavritti means mind. And when the mind opens up, the whole world opens up in front of us. Isn't it? When the mind closes in the sushupti state, there is no awareness and there is no world either. Very simple to understand, isn't it? When the mind opens up, from that awareness, the world opens up. When the mind withdraws, when the mind closes down in sushupti, the awareness goes away, the world also goes away. That's all the world is. And it is in this world we are trying to dominate and control everything. This temporary thing which comes and goes every time. So that consciousness, that is Shuddha Prajna. This awareness of this, that the mind is waking up from the soul in this way, from this consciousness. From there, mind, pranan, material body, false ego, all these things has come out. It's nothing but that awareness coming in different forms. That awareness coming in different forms is false ego. Awareness comes in another form is false ego. Another form is the mind. Another form is the intelligence. And another form of that awareness is his body also. You may find it very difficult to understand this, but if you think about it this way, that awareness is that which turns that subtle body inside the vasanas in the form of this gross body. Is it not? Why were we given this particular gross body? Because only in this particular gross body, that particular vasanas inside can be fulfilled. The gross body is nothing but a expansion of that subtle body inside, which is made of full of vasanas. So every body is different. Why? Everyone's vasanas are different. Because the vasanas are different in different people, the body looks also different. Because that body is tailor-made to suit that particular vasana the person has. That's why we are different. Otherwise, you could ask the same question, why everyone doesn't look the same? The reason is this. That his vasanas are different, so his body is different. And similarly, so in other words, everything is dependent on that prajna inside, the soul inside. From him, that Shuddha prajna, pure prajna, from that mind came, according to the world has come, the body has come, the false ego has also come from there. Depending on the vasanas inside, it takes another form, in the form of false ego. So this is what it is. It is important. Pipalayana Maharshi says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam verses are pregnant with all these things. If you remember, Nimino Navayogi Samvadam, where Kavi Hari Andarisha Prabuddha Pipalayana Maharshi says there, Naidan Mano Vishadi Bhagavata Chakshur Atma പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയാണി ച യഥാനല അലമർച്ഛിഷസ്വ ശബ്ദോഭിബോധം അതിനിഷേധ നിഷേധയ അല്പമൂല അർത്ഥോക്തമായ അർത്ഥോക്തമാഹ എതിർതേ ന നിഷേധ സിദ്ധി ദർ ഈസ് പീപ്പിൾ ആനിമർഷി ഹസ് ഫൈവ് ഓർ സിക്സ് വേഴ്സസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ദിസ് ഇസ് വൺ ഓഫ് ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഇറ്റ് സെയ്സ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഫ്രം ദി ഫയർ എ ബിഗ് ഫയർ ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് ആൻഡ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഫയർ സ്പാർക്സ് ആർ കമ്മിങ് ഔട്ട് സ്പാർക്സ് ആർ coming out. Similarly, from this big fire inside the soul, pranan comes out, senses comes out, body comes out, mind comes out, intelligence comes out, false ego comes out, or different sparks of that thing inside, the big fire inside the soul. Big fire inside the soul. That's why, that in other words, what does that mean? A spark is coming from the fire means the spark is not separate. It has got all the qualities of that spark inside. It's come out from that, so it is the same thing. Similarly, pranan, mind, chittavritti, false ego, all are another form of that thing inside. Another form of that thing inside. So, so this particular instruction, Pipalayana Maharshi has spoken here. Naidan mano vishadi vaguda chakshuralma. പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയാണി ച യഥാനലമർച്ഛിഷസ്വ ശബ്ദോപി ബോധമനിഷേധ ആത്മമൂല അർത്ഥോക്തമായ അർത്ഥോക്തമായ എതിർദേന നിഷേധ സിദ്ധി പ്ലൈനസ് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ചന്ദ്രശേഖര ഭാരതി എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ് ടു അഭിനവ വിദ്യാതീർത്ഥ ആൻഡ് സപ്പോർട്ടിംഗ് ദിസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ഗെറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വെരി ഡീപ്ലി ഇൻസൈഡ് ടു അഭിനവ വിദ്യാതീർത്ഥ ഹി ഹാഡ് ടു ഗോ ഓൺ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദിസ് ഇൻ ഡെപ്ത് ഓബ്വിയസ്ലി ദേ സ്പോക്ക് ടു ഈച്ച് അതർ ഇൻ സാൻസ്ക്രിറ്റ് They won't talk in any other language. It makes a lot easier also to explain these things for them. And so he talks to him for days together on this and told him, with this understanding, go for meditation. All this understanding. After the knowledge has been instructed properly and requested him to engage in absorption of this, meditation of this particular understanding. So, one day, Vidyadhartha goes to see Chandrasekhara Bharati, and Chandrasekhara Bharati was absorbed in meditation, as usual, all the time. So when he went there, paid his respects and stood there at that time, and he put his hands on his head and gave the gave the blessings to him to chant the holy name. Holy name, Panchaksharam. Panchaksharam means Namah Shivaya. That's what that tradition follows. They instructed him to chant the holy name of Shiva. Shiva instructed him. And that with that instruction, he told him that now I've given you the Panjashari Mandram, and told him to go to the forest, to stay in the forest for some time. Send him away to the forest. This young boy, for 14, 15 years old, send him to the forest. This is after a few years since he came to the mutt. Before, he was getting trained in this way. They had to train him up, isn't it? So he went to the forest. So when he went to the forest, in the mutt, the system was, when such a young boy goes to the forest, some attendant will go with him if he needs any help. Because they know very well, if you go to the forest, it's an ideal place for reflection of these things. And you can see in all the Upanishads also, they were sent to the forest straight away. When they joined the ashram, first day they sent them to the forest. Chandogya Upanishad, we saw that. So, Abhinav Vidyadhartha goes to the forest and some attendant was going with him. The attendant was going, Chandrasekhara Bharati called him back, told him, don't go, let him go alone. Let him go alone. Everything is controlled from there. Chandrasekhara Bharati is controlling this young boy's life to such an extent, he told him to go to the forest alone. So he went to the forest alone. He sat there and saying that, Chandrasekhara Bharati closed the door and left him alone. So he went to the forest and performed the meditation there. After while engaged in meditation, he has forgotten his own body. He has forgotten his own body. In other words, he has forgotten that jiva state, jiva consciousness, or the body identity. And after a long time in meditation, when he opened his eyes, there was a huge snake coiled around his neck and standing there. With that snake was coiled around and standing on his neck. And he stood, sat there in meditation. After some time, the snake got down and walked away from there. Walked away from that place. And Abhinav Vidyatirtha, with this whole experience, in a complete different state than when he went inside, that meditation, that experience, everything, comes back to the mutt, to the Sringeri mutt again, at that time. At that time, the attendant came and joined him. And even when the attendant came to him, he was still in that state of dhyanam, meditation, when he was there. Because the meditation state, what he has experienced, was not leaving him. It was staying with him. He could not get rid of it from inside. And that state is called nirvikalpasthiti. Nirvikalpasthiti means no vikalpam anymore. You may have heard about these two words, savikalpam, nirvikalpam. Savikalpam means vikalpam is coming. Vikalpam means sangalpa vikalpam is the nature of the mind. Mind is not working anymore. Imagine a state like that. The mind is not working inside. And so that is called a nirvikalpasthiti. No vikalpam at all. Completely fixed in the truth. Brahman realized the state. So, and no body is walking, but mind is not absorbed. That means asparshanila, not touching anything in this world with the mind. Not touching anything in this world with the mind. So, he came back and he could not go and see Chandrasekhara Bharati in that state. Because inside, so released from the world as not touching him. So he could not see Chandrasekhara Bharati separate, and he could not see anything separate, complete absorption in that truth. So he could not perform his Sandhyavandanam. You know, they have this Sandhyavandanam all the three times they have to perform the Sandhyavandanam. He could not do that in that state. And when he went there, Chandrasekhara Bharati was in this, the whole night he didn't go to see him. That night also, Chandrasekhara Bharati was in the same state of Andhararamaha, in that state. So ultimately, he sits there. Chandrasekhara Bharati is sitting there. Abhinav Vidyadhartha is sitting in another place in these two different states. Eventually, Chandrasekhara Bharati realized that the boy is in serious state. So he comes to see him. Instead of the disciple going to see the spiritual master is coming to see the disciple and says to him. After coming to him, he is asked to him, "Were you a Nagabhushana last night?" Nagabhushana means Lord Shiva's another name is Nagabhushana because of this snake around in Shiva. So were you a Nagabhushana yesterday? He says to him, because whole thing was arranged by him. Chandrasekhara Bharati has arranged this to happen. So such is the way, in a subtle level, they are interacting each other. So he asked this question, and to such an extent he was under his control, yoga parampara. So jnanis are like that, that when they develop a disciple, they will develop in the proper way. So they will create them in such a way that all previous acharyas will come in their success, in their support. This is the beauty of that. Previous acharyas will come behind them and give the instructions to them. It is so, when we say parampara and all that, that is parampara. Previous acharya should be with you in your spiritual life and giving you that help, what is needed, the hand, helping hand, what is required. And that was what this is. So otherwise, it is not possible. If you don't get the help from the previous acharya, predecessor acharyas. So, the reason for saying this was, we have to mention this word, Ramanam. The word Ramanam, Aramaha. He says there is an under Aramaha. So, because when they started experiencing no vikalpam, nirvikalpam state comes to them, that their mind was stuck there. The mind could not do anything. So, day and night they sat in that, and one day, Chandrasekhara Bharati told Abhinav Vidyadhartha, don't stay like this, come down from that state. Come down from that state and engage in your anushtanam. Because Chandrasekhara Bharati was moving away from the scene. He became so absorbed, eventually he wanted to hand over the power and go to the spiritual world. So prepared he was, that he was training up this boy to take over the the position of the Acharya there. So at a much earlier age itself, he installed Abhinav Vidyadhartha as the next Acharya, and he withdrew himself. And then the rest of his life was total absorption in the soul, and before he left this world in Samadhi. So he told him that you still have this mutt has to go on. They would not do anything to disturb the setup in this world. So he has found his successor and gave him the realizations. He got the realizations after making sure that he has come to that standard, told him that you have to continue the Vyavaharam now. Continue the Vyavaharam now. So therefore he told him that you cannot continue live as Andhara Aramaha, because this Chandrasekhara Bharati also wanted to go in the same way. Abhinav Vidyadhartha also wanted to go like his spiritual master to become Andhara Aramaha. So he says to him, not yet, wait for some time. So Andhara Aramaha, once you become Andhara Aramaha, then you cannot perform Vyavaharam. It's difficult. Vyavaharam is difficult. Because you become so much your mood away from this world, then this world cannot be any place for you. There's no happiness in this. Happiness means you cannot perform, do any business in this world. So whereas Andar Sukha, he can stay inside, experience that bliss, and at the same time, he can even engage in battlefield. He can even engage in battlefield. That is the Andar Sukha and Andar Aramaha difference. Andar Aramaha, he cannot perform Vyavaharam afterwards. It's difficult because he has moved so far away from the world to internal world. Whereas Andar Sukha is someone who goes and takes shelter and then comes back and he can perform Vyavaharam. So Chandrasekhara Bharati says to Vidyadhartha, you remain as Andar Sukha. I've gone to that state of Andar Aramaha. When the time is right, you can also move on to that state. But right now, you stay in this situation. But because it's coming from the spiritual master, it has to be followed. But the jnanis who are Andar Sukha, they can do any vyavaharam in this world. They won't be disturbed. Because they know where to go back when they want to go back. Tushara karabimbakhyam manoyasya niragulam maranam ulsava yuddheshu prashanda iti kalpade. Yoga Vasishtham says like that. They say, Tushara karabimbakhyam manoyasya niragulam, that they are so clear, complete full moon is inside. And the coolness from that moon is coming down. There is no anxiety in there anymore. That stage is all over. That inside they have taken total shelter. For them, marana ulsava yuddheshu. Even at the time of if any death happens, or if there is a festival anywhere, or there is a battlefield, in all these states, prashanda iti kalpade, they are shandi. They are in total shandi. So they can execute their vyavaharam in that stage. Because Atma, Andasukha is like that. So this stage will come when you are in the Andasukha state. Andar Aramaha, if it happens, then you can't do anything. Then you are finished with this world, already gone. They have gone to a completely higher level, so high that for this world is insignificant for them. They cannot have any kind of pleasure from this world. We are very busy, isn't it, refining this world, making the whole world perfect and all that. We think that we have a great responsibility in this world. So many things in our ignorance we have taken on our head, isn't it? On our ignorance we have taken it on our head. But Andar Aramaha, when that stage comes, which is even higher than the Andar Sukha, there is no more any connection with this world. They are so fixed on the truth. We can explain all these things through words, but unless we experience it, we really won't know it, what it is like, isn't it? That's the difference. I mean, this is only an explanation, but if ever one day it happens, it happens. So, Andar Aramaha means karmam completely leaves you at that point. All karmam is finished. Then we won't be running after karmam anymore. We think karmam is such an important thing, isn't it? Karmam, once the karmam leaves us, that is, this Andar Aramaha stage comes, then Shruti says, Atma Radihi, Atma Kredaha, Atma Mithunaha. These are the words Shruti uses about such a person. Atma Aramaha. Atma Aramaha, Shruti says, is Atma Radihi. He is only, all his happiness is from the soul. Atma Kredaha, and he is playing in the soul. Atma Mithunaha, and he is not separated from the soul at any time. Shruti says there. So, all his happiness is in Atma, Atma Rati. Atma is the only thing in which the happiness is dependent on. There is nothing exists after that. Only Atma exists. He has become that. Andar Sukha, Andar Aramaha, Tadha Andar Jyotihi. Andar Jyotihi. So, for him, he does not need any more knowledge from the world outside. Knowledge from the world outside. What will he do with the knowledge from the outside? What use is it for him? So, knowledge itself is this Atma. Atma, by knowledge itself, is the Atma. It is like that. The realization of the Atma is not a physical thing. We become that knowledge itself. And that is what the Ariva, knowledge is the Swarupam of the Atma. Knowledge is the Swarupam. And it is, another word used is Jnapti. Jnapti is the word used in the Bhagavadam. So, he does not have to inquire anything. Andar Sukha, Andara Aramaha, Tada Andar Jyotihi, Andar Jyoti Revayaha, Sayogi Brahman Ravana, Brahma Bhudo Adigachati. So, such a yogi, Andar Sukha, Andara Aramaha, Tada Andar Jyoti Evaha, Sayogi Brahman Ravana, Brahma Bhudo Adigachati. Means, one who has come to this Andar Aramaha, then he come to the states of Andar Jyotihi. Brahma Jyoti has already gone in. And Sayogi, such a yogi, he is in the Brahman realized state. And Brahma Buddha, Prasannatma Krishna says, isn't it? So Brahma Buddha state is Adigachari. He has reached that state. So, Susvarupa and Anusandhanam. That means, Susvarupa Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means chasing. Susvarupam. One Swarupam. What that is. So, he will eventually reach that state of Brahma Nirvana. Brahma Nirvana state will come. How? Brahma Buddha Adigachari. Because he realizes that there is nothing exists outside Brahma. Outside Brahma, nothing exists. He will be situated as Brahma. And first of all, what does Brahma mean? Brahma means he cannot stay anything outside that. There is only Brahma exists. He cannot stay anything outside the Brahma. That awareness itself is Brahma. That I am Brahma. He has come to that state of awareness, I am Brahma. I am Brahma. Okay. Now, we may say sometimes that Brahma Nirvanam Bhakti process is different, isn't it? This is a Jnani's process. Bhakti process, we will say that Brahman realization, you will fall down. You can fall down. Fall down can happen anywhere. Whether you are a devotee, we see that all the time. Or Brahma Nirvanam also state, you can know. Everything depends on how much we are going towards the truth, how much closer we get to the truth. Whether you are a jnani, whether you are a yogi or a devotee, all of us can fall from that state. From the state, we can fall. Devotees can fall, jnanis can fall, yogis can fall. Everyone is prone to fall. But depending on how far we have got there, the chances of fall down will be minimum. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is that yad gatvana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. One who has reached that state, he doesn't come back. He says there. But that state you have to reach before we can talk about that, isn't it? Yad gatvana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. That dhamam, that state, what Krishna is referring to, it's a very, very high state. From there, you don't come back again. So, if you have gone so far, then there is no chance of coming back. But in between, you can always fall back. Nasa punaravartade. Shruti says like this. It is that state, you don't come back again. Once you've gone there, you don't come back again. But what does that going mean? This is the question. People won't look at it that way. You think that it is a physical movement from A to B. It's not a physical movement. It's that raising this consciousness to such level that you won't come back again. Nasuka Puniravartade. He has no comeback because he's gone so far ahead of. So in that process is this Atma Sukaha, Atma Aramaha, Atma Jyotihi. It comes like this, that growth in the spiritual plane. So in Atma Sukaha can come back. Atma Aramaha has gone a lot further down the line. He may not come back anymore. Antan Jyotihi means he has fixed there. There's no more coming back from that. So same thing in devotional life also. All these things are true. So it says here that aware prajnanam brahma. There is a says there. Prajnanam, as prajna has become so pure, is brahmam. So that awareness is brahmam. And what is that awareness? That I am that. That awareness inside. I am that soul. That is so become completely manifested that only I see the soul in everything. Everything is in relationship with the soul. Individualities and all goes away at that point. So that is dancing inside. So one has to give attention to that awareness inside of the soul. So that awareness that when it gets more and more clear inside of our awareness, consciousness, or the awareness of that, that we will slowly get released from the grip of the mind, of the body, of the intelligence, of the prana, ego, everything. We will get completely, little by little, released from this. And then that state is called Chidagasham. That it is only that space that exists for us at that time. Body doesn't exist, mind doesn't exist. And engagement in that state is Atma Aramaha. Atma Aramaha. That Krishna says that in the second stage. And once we come to that, then you are liberated. In the Atma Aramaha state, you are very much liberated. So, it is like this, that you have found the house which you are looking to buy, planning to buy. You have found that property, the right property you have found, and you have decided to move in there. So, now, after that state, even for some reason, if you wanted to come out, immediately you will be pulled back by the consciousness inside. The soul will pull you back. In the Atmarama state, that's what happens. There is a verse there in the Bhagavatam. Atmaramaschamunayo nargranda abhi urukrame kurvandi ahaitukim bhaktim itham bhudaguno hari. A famous verse, Atmarama verse in the Bhagavatam. Atmaramaschamunayo. Munis who are Atmaramas. And you can imagine that state, what state that is. It is not andasukha, Atmaramaha. Such sages, Atmaramaschamunayo. Nargrandha abhi urukrame. Their grandhi has broken inside. Ahangaram has completely gone away from inside. Ahangara grandhi is called grandhi. That grandhi has complete gland. You can say gland, yeah? Gland is the word. So, that grandhi is completely broken. Nargrandha abhi urukrame kurvandi. Such personalities, even they have come to engage in absorption in Krishna. In the Krishna's pastimes, they have given importance. Krishna's pastimes, what we read in the Bhagavatam, is not something simply a story. It has got tremendous significance. And because it's coming from the absolute truth, that is the only truth. The reality is that. We say, is this all true? Isn't it? We ask this question, is all these pastimes true or not? People are asking the question. Actually, that's the only truth. The other things are not truth. Everything else what we see in this world is false. What is truth is Krishna's pastimes is the only truth. So, the thing is this, that Atma Ramaschamaniyo Nirgrandha Vyurikrame Kurvandi, after reaching that stage, they only perform bhakti to these transcendental qualities of Krishna. They perform the transcendental qualities of Krishna. But they can only they can appreciate that. We can't appreciate that. That is our state. So, this is why we say here that Atmana Vindade Viryam means what? Because Atma has this power of to pull you back towards that, provided we are ourselves endeavoring to go towards the soul. Initially, sadhana stage is when we keep trying to develop that spiritual understanding in us, isn't it? That is sadhana stage. But afterwards, a stage comes, kripa stage, when it is mercy is coming from there and pulling us towards that. That stage is the more interesting stage. In the sadhana stage, it is ahankaram what is doing. The false ego in us, I am doing this sadhana. Our false ego has dressed up like a sadhaka. Do you know what I am saying? Sadhana is there. One who is performing sadhana is sadhaka. Sadhaka is the one who is performing sadhana. In that stage, it is ahankaram, our false ego, has dressed up like sadhaka and saying that I am doing the sadhana. You see, sadhaka is saying, dressed up as, his false ego is dressed up in that dress he has come and saying that I am doing the sadhana. Actually, sadhana is not going to get us anywhere. Sadhana is necessary only to get rid of that false ego. That's all. Eventually, what takes us back to Krishna is that kripa, that mercy coming from Krishna, which is the soul. The soul's nature is like that. When we have gone through sadhana and realized that sadhana will not get me there at the end, we come to that state at a later date. When we experience after whole life, engage in all sadhana, and you will one day, you will feel completely finished. You will realize that I cannot do it on my own. So when you realize you cannot do it anymore, that it is not in your hands, only then Krishna steps in. Up to that point, you are always thinking, I can do it, I can do it, I will do it. I will chant so many rounds, I'll go do all these things, I'll preach, I'll change, I'll do all that. When it completely collapses inside, and then we realize I can't do anything, when that stage comes, slowly that mercy will trickle down from Krishna's side. Till that time it won't happen. Otherwise it has no meaning. See, if it is sadhana that makes a spiritual life, it's a business then. I've done so much, you do it for me. There is no kripa there then, isn't it? What is the meaning of kripa then? If it was simply sadhana alone, that is bringing the result. We misunderstand things like this. We think that sadhana alone will bring the result. Sadhana is not going to bring the results. Sadhana, you can, if you think that so much sadhana I have done, now I should get the result means, that is just a pure business transaction then. I have done so much, you do it for me now. That's not kripa there anymore. But kripa is something different. Kripa state is, all these sadhanas have been done and realize that sadhana cannot do it. Sadhana cannot do it, and you have come to realize, then only you become qualified for the mercy, for the kripa. It is that kripa sakshalkaram, kripa realization is much more important than the from sadhana or anything else. Sadhana is only to teach this lesson to us, that the ahankaram or false ego inside is detecting to us at the moment. Everything in spiritual life, I can do this. Now I was chanting 16 rounds last year, this year I'm chanting 32. Next year I'll do 64, and after that I'll do 128 or 192, or all this understanding will say like that, isn't it? But how far? You may chant all these things, but there is no guarantee. One day you'll realize that you can't do it on your own. And when that happens, that's where you feel helpless in this world. And like a child, you cry to the mother, you have to cry. And that's when Krishna's mercy, if it comes, if your parabdham is over and Krishna is merciful enough, then some kripa will come from Krishna. So, so even in that state, that when it comes to that state, that once the thoughts are andarmukham, and Shraddha, attention is inward looking, and not allow the mind to go into the world outside. So in a sadhana level, all these things will happen, that we keep on progressing, that how much we have become inward looking, accordingly the progress. As much inward looking we become, accordingly the progress. That is why Andara Almaha. More than whatever you are getting from the world outside, you should give importance to the person who is receiving all these things. You know what I'm saying? That more importance what we give to the world outside, from where all this understanding is coming, collecting, importance should be given to the person who is knowing these things. That is more important. In other words, you should not give to the attention to the doubts. Pay attention to the doubter who is doubting and not to the doubts. Again, the same thing, we are repeating that. Not to give attention to the doubts. Our problem is this, that we give attention to the doubts. Don't give attention to the doubts. Give attention to the doubter. Ask the question, where is this doubts coming from? That is important. So, it is impossible to clear the doubts. Impossible to clear the doubts. Doubts will keep coming. One will come and after that another one will come. Some people have all, this is the only business they have got, clearing the doubts. You can see that also. They have so much doubts, they keep on asking everybody and clearing the doubts. That's their only business in life, clearing the doubts. They will go to one person and ask something, and then they'll go to another person and ask him, he has told like this, what do you say about that? They will ask like this. So, what is the benefit from this? One person says something and it creates more doubt in him. That's why he goes to another person. And then he asks him that he said like this, what do you think about that? And then he will say to him something and he'll create some more doubt in him. So he'll go to somebody else then, asking somebody else. So, one thing we have to remember very clearly, the soul inside has no doubts. Soul has no doubt. Doubt, where is it coming from? It's coming from the mind. Mind has got the doubts. Soul has no doubts. So long as you are in the mental platform, you will have doubts. You are identifying with the mind, what can you do? So the mind will create doubts and you'll be busy in solving that doubts also, in answering those doubts. So Atma has no doubts. Atma has no doubt. On the other hand, false ego has got doubts. False ego and the mind are together. False ego and the mind are together. So if you answer the doubt, if you clear the doubt, false ego gets satisfied. Who gets satisfied when you clear the doubt? The false ego gets satisfied. Because Atma never had any doubt. Atma was not looking for an answer. And you are clearing the doubt as in helped also the Atma. Soul has not been helped by any of these things. All these things we have to keep talking. Why? Because in our normal state, we are like this way. Our false ego, our mind. Chittavritti and samshayam or doubts and then the false ego behind it. And we waste all our time in asking all these questions and getting answers and making sure that false ego is satisfied inside. That's what it is. There's nothing more than that. So, the false ego gets pleased with this. And on the other hand, when that doubt business, questions, answers, business is stopped, so prajna, we understand that I am nothing to do with these doubts. Doubts are all meaningless. All this is not getting me anywhere. Asking, on the other hand, being fixed on the soul, on the prajna, all the soul, that consciousness, and that time, our surupam, our pure identity will become manifested. Instead of that, if you keep on solving these mental thoughts all the time, one doubt, after that another doubt, after that another doubt, it will become a whole lifetime affair. This solving the doubts, it will become a lifetime affair. So, that knowledge of the soul, what we are talking about, this attention on the soul, this knowledge itself is the very very nature of the soul, isn't it? Nature of the soul is knowledge. Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge, we say. So the question comes, immediately you can understand there itself. If inside the soul is full of knowledge, why are we going and asking questions to others? Where is the question coming from? Shastra is, we are accepting that, that the soul is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. We are accepting that, isn't it? The fact that we are going and asking questions to others means that you have not even accepted that. And we are thinking, by asking questions, one day the soul is going to get knowledge from somewhere. That I have to keep on feeding the soul with the knowledge from outside, through collected from all the courses, seminars, everything. And it goes in and the soul will get the knowledge and then the soul will be satisfied. This is a misunderstanding. This is the misunderstanding. The knowledge is already there. That is the nature of the soul is knowledge. Otherwise, what does it mean? Satya, Jnanam, Anandam, Brahma. All these Upanishad statements are meaningless otherwise, isn't it? Sachidanandam it's called. The soul is Sachidanandam. Satya, Chitta, Anandam. What does it mean? It means the knowledge is completely there. Soul has no doubts at all on anything in this world. Soul is complete in itself. It is these doubts are coming from the mind and we are going chasing after these doubts and the mind. That's our mistake. And added to that, we have all these statements like only an intelligent man will ask questions. We say like that, isn't it? And then therefore, some people, they make about 10-20 questions in the class and keep firing at you, asking, give me an answer for this, give me an answer for that, convince me like this. So he thinking soul is something for getting convinced like this. It's not like that. That's the point. So this question is that knowledge itself is the nature of the soul. Only those who have experience know these things. That's why we say that personalities, Mahatmas who have realized this, there's no question after that. So when you go to them, what do? They will inquire about the welfare of your body, health, everything. If you are not taking prasadam, they'll give you prasadam. But if you start raising questions at them, they'll say, no, let's wait for a minute. Let's move on to something else. They don't want to answer your doubts because answering doubt is not the proper way to solve this problem. Whether it is jnanam, karmam, bhakti, anywhere, the acceptance of the what Krishna has spoken here. So, whether it is any subject, what is known from the world outside is no use at the end. So, so we learned so many things that many great devotees have spoken like this also. He says to Krishna, I had enough of this knowledge from the world outside, enough of this so-called knowledge from the outside and the activities outside. I'm also had enough of this knowledge of the soul also I've been picking up. Because even the knowledge of the soul you are picking from outside, from the books and from the other people. But when the realization has happened inside, they say like this, Vaidika karmam, laugika karmam, I had enough of both. The laugika means the material activities. Vaidika means all these spiritual rituals. Vaidika karmam, ritualistic activities. Also, I had enough. Let them both not disturb me anymore. That's their prayers. Let the mind be absorbed in completely in the soul. So, that is called Nirvedam. Nirvedam means that don't want to know anything anymore. You come to that state. And neither material or spiritual. You don't want to know anything anymore. So, even in the Adhyatmam, in spiritual life also this happened. One book after another book. Keep studying. It's not getting anywhere. And all this what you study and know like this is not even 1% of the value of the realization. What you get from the knowledge when you realize it. Intellectual clarity you will get by studying books. Intellectual clarity will come. And that clarity is only about 1% or so. Not more than that. 99% is in the realization of the knowledge. 99% is in the realization. So, because all knowledge is dependent on that soul. All knowledge is dependent on the soul. And that once we realize that, you have realized everything. All the knowledge what you need is already there in that soul. So that is that state, what Krishna calls it as Andar Jyotihi. Remember? അന്തസുഖ അന്തർ ആരാമ അന്തർ ജ്യോതിഹി. സോ വെൻ എ സ്റ്റേജ് കംസ് അന്തർ സുഖ ഹാസ് ഫിനിഷ്ഡ് അന്തർ ആരാമ ഓൾസോ ഫിനിഷ്ഡ് ആൻഡ് കംസ് എ സ്റ്റേജ് യു ഡോണ്ട് വാണ്ട് എനി മോർ എനി നോളജ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഐദർ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഓർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ യു ആർ ഫുൾ റൈറ്റ് അപ് ടു ദ ടോപ്പ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അന്തർ ജ്യോതിഹി. See that? Three states. Krishna says in that verse, if you look, you will see there. See how powerful these verses are. Yo andasukho andararamaha tadha andarajyotir evaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhutodi gacchati. Yo andasukho andararamaha tadha andarajyotir evaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhutodi gacchati. സോ അന്തസുഖ അന്തരാരാമ അന്തർജ്യോതിഹി ത്രീ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ഇസ് വൺ ഹൂസ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഇസ് വിത്തിൻ, ഹൂ ഇസ് ആക്റ്റീവ് വിത്തിൻ, ഹൂ റിജോയ്സസ് വിത്തിൻ, എലിയൂമിൻഡ് വിത്തിൻ ഈസ് ആക്ച്വലി ദി പെർഫെക്റ്റ് മിസ്റ്റേക്ക്. സി യു ക്യാൻ ഓൺലി സേ സോ മച്ച് ഇൻ ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ്, ബട്ട് വെൻ യു സീ ദ ഡിഫറൻസസ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഹൗ ബിഗ് ദ ഡിഫറൻസിസ് between andasukaha andararamaha and andarjyotihi. Such a beautiful state of consciousness, isn't it? So we are now worried about andasukaha andararamaha and andarjyotihi doesn't bother us at the moment. Andasukaha itself we are not getting what to do. So that's why that this understanding Bhagavad Gita is so important. It makes us feel humble where we are, and isn't it? Krishna is giving us a open understanding that this is where you are at. He is telling us in that way. Andar sugaha, andar aramaha, andar jyotihi. For us, it's only what matters is that we chant 16 rounds, 2 years, 3 years, going back home to Godhead, or put a tape on at the time of death. We hear the tape and we all say, I have all gone back home to Godhead. If it is all simple like that, these verses have no meaning then. Isn't it? Then we also say everything, oh, so much concession, Kali Yuga. Nothing. Kali Yuga concession means that we draw the Bhagavad Gita from the world then. There's no Bhagavad Gita required then anymore after that. The whole thing is so difficult sometimes when you have to deal with people like that who have made so simple everything. It's not that simple. You can see the verses are speaking for themselves. Andar sugaha, andar aramaha, andar jyotihi. And when it is situation like that, so what we say here is that tamo aham anubhavati sarvam. Remember that verse in the Kathopanishad. Remember beautiful verse in that Kathopanishad where it says there, yasya bhasa sarvabhasamidham vibhadi, isn't it? Sarvamidham vibhadi. നത്ര സൂര്യോ ഭാതി ന ചന്ദ്രതാരകം നേമാ വിദ്യുതോ ഭാന്തി കുതോയമഗ്നി തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാതി സർവം യസ്യ ഭാസാ സർവമിദം വിഭാതി. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ദ ബ്രാഹ്മണ ടോൾഡ് ആചാര്യസ്വാമിജി അബൌട്ട് ദിസ്. ന തത്ര സൂര്യോ ഭാതി ന ചന്ദ്രതാരകം നേമാ വിദ്യുതോ ഭാന്തി കുതോയമഗ്നി തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാതി സർവം തസ്യ ഭാസാ സർവമിദം വിഭാതി. There, the sun does not shine, nor do the moon and the stars, nor do these flashes of lightning shine. How can this fire, he shining, all these shine through his luster, all these are variously illumined. So, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. So, and that source, who is the source of all knowledge? You see, in the andar jyoti state, it is that knowledge. That is, the knowledge inside. All the knowledge is coming from there, from that source. The soul is coming from there. Tasya bhasa sarvabhasa midam vibhadi. He said there, isn't it, in that Kathopanishad verse. So, it is only due to that knowledge coming from there, everything else is illuminating. Everything else is illuminating. So, and that knowledge is called jnapti. It's called jnapti. Jnapti is the word used in the Bhagavadam. And Acharya Swamiji's commentaries also, in many places, he will use this word jnapti. Everything is coming from there, from that source. So, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, it is in the prayers of Mujukunda. Mujukunda prayers. Remember, Mujukunda, the king who was sleeping in the cave for a long period of time after fighting the battle in the... When Kartikeya Subramanya Swami went there and took over the control of the chief, commander-in-chief of the demigods, he was relieved from his duty there, from the heavenly planets. He came here, came back. And while coming back, he asked for a benediction from the demigods for liberation. Demigods said, "We can't offer you liberation. It's not in our power." "Then what can you offer us?" he said. He says to them, "If you can't offer that, then you tell me what you can offer." He says to them. There he is dealing with an equal level with them. Mujukunda was a great personality. So he says to them, "What can you offer us then?" He says, "I want..." Then the demigods asked him, "What do you want?" He says, "I want to sleep for a long period of time." In other words, he wanted to experience that realization, the Sushupti state, what he wants. So they blessed him with that. He came and slept in the cave. By Krishna's arrangement, all these things are happening. Krishna brings Kalayavana. He wanted to burn Kalayavana in the fire of the eyes coming from the eyes coming from Mujukunda. So he comes, Kalayavana, by accidentally kicks Mujukunda, who was sleeping there. Mujukunda wakes up, and in the fire from his eyes, Kalayavana got burned into ashes. Krishna was standing there. The effulgence from Krishna he saw, Mujukunda started glorifying Krishna. It's a beautiful part in the Bhagavatam. So there you will notice Mujukunda was glorifying Krishna, and in that he says Jnapti. The Jnapti you will see. The verse is Tasmad Visrajya Shishamisha Sarvado Rajastama Sattva Guna Anubandhanam Niranjanam Nirgunam Advayam Param Tvam Jnapti Matram Purusham Vrajamyaham. This is that verse. Niranjanam Nirgunam Advayam Param Tvam Jnapti Matram Purusham Vrajamyaham. Addressing Krishna as the Jnapti. Jnapti. In that, Jnapti of the soul is personified standing as Krishna there. So he's addressing him like that. Tasma al visrajya shishamisha sarvado rajastama sattva guna anubandhanam. That Jnapti cannot be touched by rajasa, samasa, or sattvam. None of the three modes of nature can touch that. Niranjanam, nirgunam, advayam param. It is superior to everything. Nirgunam, no qualities. The three modes of nature has no, cannot touch that. Advayam param tvam yapti matram purusham vrajamyaham. You are that yapti, addresses like that. Mujukunda addresses Krishna in that way. So that state, without any doubts inside, staying in that state, and that awareness is yapti. Do you know what I'm saying? That without any doubts coming inside, and completely in full knowledge of everything, what goes on, without any doubts anymore developing inside, only will happen when Andar Jyotihi. And that state is called awareness, is called Jnapti. Awareness in that state is called Jnapti. So, in that, will only happen at that state, what will happen? There is the least trace of false ego inside. False ego is completely gone away from inside. So, if that false ego completely goes away, then Krishna is saying that state one can reach. But false ego is so strong inside, it is difficult to reach that state very easily. So, but Krishna says, if you keep on giving attention to that awareness, not allowing the false ego to develop inside any moment, then you can reach, it will take us ultimately to the state of that Jnapti. And that state is important in the sense that whichever state you fall into, you won't lose that Jnapti. Whether you are in sleep state, deep sleep, or whether you are in a coma state. Sometimes people fall into coma, isn't it? At the time of death, they fall into coma. Or sometimes people die in sleep. So whether you die in sleep or you fall into coma state, and if you have reached that state of Jnapti is there, Andar Jyotihi state, it won't affect you. Karma won't affect you, sleep won't affect you, because they are all the function of the body. Function of the body. It has nothing to do with that. So, once the Nyakti state has reached, that means you have already transcended the mind. Already transcended the mind. In other words, that it is that particular state where Andar Sugaha, Andar Aramaha, Andar Jyotihi. All this has come to him. All this has come to him. He is no more imprisoned in any state anymore. Three states of existence, Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti is not there for him. That's also withdrawn. And he is also experiencing this Nyapti, pure awareness of the soul only, and full of knowledge of the his, and doesn't require anything from the external world to fulfill his knowledge. He doesn't require anything. So he's come to that state completely. That is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. 25. Lepande Brahma Nirvanam. Mrishayakshina Kalmasha. Chinna Dvaidaya Dhatmana. Sarvabhuta Hiterata. Labhande Brahma Nirvanam. Mrishayakshina Kalmasha. Chinna Dvaidaya Dhatmana. Sarvabhuta Hiterata. Labhande Brahma Nirvanam. Rishayakshena Kalmashaha Chinnadvaida Yadalpanam Sarvabhuda Hiderata. Krishna says, one who is beyond duality and doubt, whose mind is engaged within, who is always busy working for the welfare of all sentient beings, and who is free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Achieve liberation in the Supreme. Labhande Brahma Nirvanam Rishayakshena Kalmasha Chinnadvaida Yadatmanam Sarvabhuta Hiterata. Now, we can understand this verse in a different way, in the sense that sometimes we think, oh, who is always busy working for the welfare of all sentient beings. After reading that, people will think, oh, if I start working for others, I've reached that state. No, it's not like that. Just because you started working for everybody doesn't mean that you have reached that state. What Krishna is saying here, when he comes to that state, already whatever you do in this world, whatever you do, it will be for the benefit of others. That's how it is. Not that, I have understood this verse now, thinking that, who is always busy working for the welfare of all sentient beings. Just because, and I start working for the benefit of everybody else without any doing anything for myself. That doesn't mean that. What Krishna is saying here, after you have reached that state, Lepande Brahma Nirvanam Shaya Kshina Kalmashaha. Kshina Kalmasham is important. Kshina Kalmasham means, if you look at the word, who are devoid of all sins. And Chinnaha, Chinna Dvaita Yadatmanam. Dvaitam has gone away. Duality must go from him. All duality has to go from him. All doubts have to go from him. And all sinful reactions has to go from him. After that, whatever he is doing in this world will be for the benefit of others. That's why Sarvabhuta Hiterata. Only at that time, not otherwise. Sometimes we say like this, isn't it? Because I am preaching or I am doing this, so I am doing for the welfare of others. So I am on the highest platform. I am Uttama Adhikari and all. Some people say like this. I heard once on somebody, some prominent person saying like that, then I am at least a Madhyama Adhikari, he said. If not a Uttama Adhikari. One personality said this. If not a Uttama Adhikari, at least I am a Madhyama Adhikari, he says like that. If only they have to read these verses and they will know what they are talking about. That, first of all, Krishna is saying, Lebhande Brahma Nirvanam Krishaya Kshina Kalmasha. First of all, Kshena Kalmasha, all the Kalmasham has to go. What does Kalmasha mean, remember? Kalamasha. Ka is Kamam Krotham. These are Kamam. Ka. La is Lobham. Ma is Moham Madam Matsaryam. Do you know that, isn't it? All the English words for that. Lust, anger, greed, all these kind of things. The six things. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam. So, Kshira Kalmashaha. All this Ka, La, Ma. That's from that this word has come. Kalmasha word has come from that. Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam. That is Kalmasha. Ka, La, Ma, Sha. Sha means six. So, Kalmasha means the six made of this Kala and Ma. That is Kalmasha. All these six has gone. Chinna Kalmashaha from him. Then, Chinna Dvaidaha. Dvandvam has gone from him completely. Broken. Completely freed from all Dvandvam. Duality has gone from him, which is a big thing, isn't it? To lose the duality in this world. And Atmanaha Sarva Bhuta Hite Radaha. Such a person will be, and who is free from all sins, achieves the liberation in the Supreme, and who is always busy working for the welfare of all sentient beings. Krishna says like that. So they reach the state of Brahmanirvanam. Krishna says Brahmanirvanam. So let's look at that verse. Brahmanirvanam, sages, what's the name? Quarters. Brahmanirvanam, rishis are says that they are mantra drashta. That's how they are addressed as drashta. Drashta means what they have seen. From the word darshanam, darshanam means to see, the word drashta has come. Drashta means one who had darshanam, one who had seen. They are drashta. So, in other words, internally, inside world, one who is staying as a witness to everything, observing everything as a sakshi or a witness. So, he is called a rishi. He is rishi. Rishi means one who is seeing everything, what's going on inside, but standing purely as a witness to everything. That means they have realized it and they are witnessing everything, what's going on inside. What is their symptom? That's what Krishna is discussing here. What's their symptom? First thing is Kshina Kalmashaha. Kshina Kalmashaha. He says there. So, that means all the asuric vasana. What are these demoniac vasanas inside? Kamam, krodham, false ego, lust, anger, greed, and this tendency of the mind to go outwardly. This is also part of that. Tendency of the mind to go outwardly, to the world outside. With leaving the soul and the mind going outward and developing all these gross thoughts inside. Sthula chinda. Instead of developing sushma chinda, subtle thoughts inside, developing gross thoughts inside. All that has stopped. That's also, this is all called kalmasham. Kalmasham refers to all these things. Apart from kama krotha lobha moha madam alsaryam, it also includes this nature of the mind which goes outward in the world and developing gross thoughts inside. Gross thought means most of the vyavaharam is gross. Isn't it? No connection with the soul. Any thought which has no connection with the soul is gross. It's a gross thought. Going to shopping, gross. Maintaining the body is gross. And any other work we do is all gross. So, Kshina Kalmashaha, it says here, that he has come, Yadha Yadha Pratyak Avastitam Mana, Tadha Tadha. That means when the mind is freed from that state, Yatha yada pratyagavastitam mana tatha tada munchadi bahya mana vasanam nishesha mokshe sadi vasananam atmanibhuti pradibandha shunyam. Pradibandha shunyam. Yatha yada pratyagavastitam mana. As the mind becomes gradually established in the self, yatha yada pratyagavastitam mana pratyagalma. Alma, soul. When it is inside, if your attention is on that, it is called pratyagalpa. Yadha yadha pratyagavasthitam mana. When the mind has gone, your attention has gone on the soul. Tatha tada munchadi bahya vasanam. accordingly, it desires for external vasanas from will not come in anymore. Will not come inside anymore. All our desires for external objects will leave us. All our desires for external objects will leave us. He gives up, proportionately gives up the desires for external objects. तथा तथा मुंचति बाह्यवासना निशेषमोक्षे सदि वासनानां एंड निशेषमोक्षे सदि वासनानां व्हेन ऑल दोस डिजायर्स हैव बीन एलिमिनेटेड इन अदर वर्ड्स देयर इज नो मोर डिजायर्स कमिंग फॉर द वर्ल्ड आउटसाइड और द ऑब्जेक्ट्स आउटसाइड देयर टेक्स प्लेस आत्मानुभूति प्रतिबंध शून्यम एट दैट पॉइंट टेक्स प्लेस द रियलाइजेशन ऑफ द सोल अनऑब्स्ट्रक्टेड विदाउट एनी ऑब्स्ट्रक्शन इट विल हैपन. That is what it is in the Viveka Chudamani. This says this. When does that realization happens? So, when the mind got absorbed in the Swarupam, on the soul, it keep on engaging in that absorption. All the external vasanas will leave us. Kshina Kalmasha. Chinnadvaidaha means that there are two. There is no two. There's only one thing. And in other words, I have got my body. The world is the truth. And I am only a conditioned soul. These are all dvaidam. Dvaidha bhavam it is. Duality is teaching us. What is it teaching us? I got this body. That's first thing. And next thing, the world is the truth. The second thing. Third thing, I am a conditioned soul. What can I do? All this understanding. So, this is called, I am always thinking that I am a conditioned soul. If I keep on saying that all the time I am a conditioned soul, there's no way. I'll remain as a conditioned soul. I'm not going to come out of that conditioned nature. And this is in the Shastram, it's called Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya it's called. Mula Avidya means it is at the very root of our avidya. At the very root, that ignorance is there. Shastram is telling us we are spirit soul, eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. So why this state has come then? Like this. That's why it's called avidya. That at the moment, and we think that it's humility to keep on declaring to the world, I am humble, I am I am fallen, I am not advanced, I am this, I am that, all kind of statements we make, isn't it? Why? Because that Mula Avidya, the primeval ignorance, as it's called, Mula Avidya means primeval ignorance, very basic ignorance is so deep in us. On the other hand, Shastram is telling us, you are full of knowledge, full of bliss, and you are eternal. So when you have lost that and you have taken this position as a jiva, accepting this, I am a jiva, I am a conditioned soul, you know, I have all this, I made so many offenses to so many people, I am suffering because of that. All this is called Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya it is. So primeval ignorance. So, so in that first step, at the bottom of the whole thing, if there is a mistake, then you will never get the answer properly also. So, similarly, in the first tip itself, Jiva is thinking like this, Kalpayade Purvam Tado Bhavan Pratak Vidhan. First thing, I have established myself as a Jiva, conditioned soul, and Jiva is like this, like as I mentioned before, seeing the snake on the rope, and this Jivatvam, what we are experiencing also in the Brahmam, it is happening. In the Brahmam, it's a Brahmam inside, that I am a jiva like this. I am suffering. I am limited to this body. And I have to suffer through this. I have got this life of 70, 80 years. I have to die after that. This is all that Brahmam inside us, what is gotten. And it is not easy to get rid of this. It's not easy. That is why it becomes so powerful. So, all these things are happening in this pure consciousness of Brahmam, isn't it? Brahmam consciousness. In that consciousness, a small consciousness like ours has taken in this way and we have become a jiva like this. That's what jiva means. So, just like the, I gave the example like the snake and the rope. Why that example is so important is, it's very close to the truth, that example. That's why it's given so much prominence. As much as you think it is a snake, the rope doesn't exist. And as soon as you realize it's a rope, the snake doesn't exist. It is the same way, the body and the soul. As much as we are thinking, I am this body, the soul doesn't exist for us. The moment we realize we are the soul, the body doesn't exist after that. That's why that Rajasarpam, Bhagavatam, many places that example is given. For this reason only, it is so perfect in that example, Rajasarpam. Everywhere you will find in the Vedantam, the Rajasarpam example given. Or another example, the post and the ghost. Remember, walking in the night, suddenly you saw a post and you thought it's a ghost. And the next day somebody else went and looked and confirmed that, yes, it is a ghost. Few people confirmed that. Then you all together went to verify it and took the torchlight and showed it onto the post. And then you realized it's not a ghost anymore, it's a post. So similarly, it's only a Brahmam. That is called Brahmam. Brahmam inside. And you can imagine this Brahmam, what all problems it creates. As soon as you saw the snake, fear inside. First emotion, excitement inside, that I'm going to be killed. Snake might bite me. If snake bites me, I'm finished. Reaction, immediately what's that from the fear? Wants to deal with the situation to protect the body. So subsequently you can see all other follow-up activities coming from that. So he says here that in this particular verse, Krishna used here, Labhate Brahma Nirvanam, isn't it? Labhate Brahma Nirvanam Rishaya Kshena Kalmashaha Chinna Dvaita Yathatmana. Dvaitam has to go from inside. Duality must go from inside. That duality is this. What is that? Snake, rope, all this duality. These are all dualities, isn't it? Snake, rope. And how will it go? That means you have to show the light in words. Otherwise, it's not going to go. Through the power of thought and the knowledge of Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So, Jiva only knows one thing. I am one Jiva. You are another Jiva. You are another Jiva. You are another Jiva. This is our consciousness at the moment, isn't it? We are all different Jivas. So many Jivas have come together, we say. But that Jiva consciousness is coming from that. So, but all the Jivas are saying, I am, I am, I am. We all identify as I. I is one. But Jivas are different, isn't it? Every Jiva will say, when you speak, you will say, I am. And you will say, you will also say, I am. I will also say, I am. So, because for them, this I am saying, for the sannyasis, when it comes to that, when you address them, when you go to see the sannyasis, in the traditional system I'm saying, not now. In that system, when you go to see sannyasis, you have to say to the sannyasis, I am so and so, pay my obeisances to you. You say to them, and then you pay your obeisances to them. It's called abhivadanam. Abhivadanam means you have to tell him who you are, and then you pay your obeisances. So, even there, we are telling the lie to him. When you go saying that I am so and so, and I pay my obeisances to you. Even there it's a lie, because that is, at that stage you have to do that. In that stage, that's why it's like that. But when realization happens, you don't say like that anymore. In the sadhana stage, in the early stages as householders, when you don't have any spiritual understanding, spiritual realization, when you see sannyasis, you have to pay, saying that I am so-and-so, and introduce yourself and pay your obeisances to him. But when that same thing, if you take to the spiritual platform, it's a lie. It's a lie there, that you are not that. So there, even that happens. So, but from their position, as far as they are concerned, even our body is not a truth for them. The shariram is not a truth as far as they are concerned. Because name, form, all these things are only for our transactions in this world. Nothing more than that. The name and the form what we have, we give a lot of importance to that, isn't it? For the name and the form. We're very particular about what's your name. We first ask everyone, isn't it? And a name and the form, whatever you are, that they expect from you, all these things. So, Jiva, when it has got its false ego inside, I, all this I, it becomes we at some stage, isn't it? So many I's joins together and becomes we, isn't it? When you say many I's join together, we can say we all together. It's a we, isn't it? But we is only in Vyavaharam. I is not in the Vyavaharam. I is always the soul that's only one. That's present in different bodies. So in the spiritual plane is I. In the material plane, when it comes to it, becomes we. It becomes we. Vyavaharam goes away. In the Vyavaharam stage, we can say we. But we is not a truth. I is the truth. I is the truth. Actually, when you inquire about these things, you can see I also doesn't exist. What exists is only the Brahman. Only Brahman exists. And that consciousness, continuous awareness of the truth alone exists. And that is what is called Chinna Dvaidaha. Krishna says that Chinna Dvaidaha. Dvaita Bhavam. Dvaita means two, isn't it? Duality. In everything, duality. I am, you are separate, he is separate, he is separate. Like this duality in this world is existing. Krishna says here that Dvaita Bhavam, when it goes away and realizes the oneness of the truth, absolute oneness of the nature of the truth, that is what is called Chinna Dvaidaha. Chinna Dvaidaha. So, why do we feel there is two? This two feeling has come because the main reason for that is the avidya or the ahankaram inside, the false ego inside. That's the cause. It is a false ego that makes us identify separately like that, because false ego is at different levels it's operating. So, once you take this, I exist, ahankaram comes out like this in the form of false ego, then the next thing will come you. And then they will all come from that. Because I am there, you are there, and they are there. You see? So, sapnam in dream state, you can, interesting thing is here where jagrat sapnam sushupti becomes very interesting. Suppose I am sleeping in one room alone. In one room alone. But when I am alone in that room, and I am sleeping, and I am dreaming. And I am in the dream state. There is nobody else in the room. So, but in the dream, everybody has come. Everybody has come in the dream. Or in other words, all those whom I consider as close to me. Just like my house, my my family, my relatives, and things what I like, things what I don't like. All these things are coming there. Where is that coming from? That you will notice at that time, the soul in that state, when it is under the influence of the mind, the ahankaram also is there. Same time. So together they, mind and the false ego, together they will bring everything to you at that time, even though nobody is in the room. They all come to you at that stage, isn't it? In dream state, you see all these things. Nobody was there, but I am there with my house, with my family, with my friends, with all the people whom I like, I don't like. They all come in the dream. So where is this coming from? That has come because the mind and the false ego has worked together and created that world for us. That is why we say dream state is under the control of the mind. Dream state is under the control of the mind. You can see here that same time, and therefore it says in the Vedantam, it says aham idam. Aham idam. Yeah. Both happens at the ahankaram is adam. Ahankaram is aham. And ahankaram idamkaram. Ahamkaram idamkaram. Ahankaram is I am. Idamkaram means all the others. They also come. Aham idam. Same time it happens. If there is first person, there will be a second person. If there is a first person, there will be a second person. And if there is a second person, and the third person will come along with that. So when you study grammar, you know they teach you all these things, isn't it? At that time, we rack our brain to understand when you are young. What is this first person, second person, third person and all? And they start telling you. So the first person is there, second person will be there, and there will be third person as well. First person, if you observe carefully where the first person is coming from, and you realize that even the first person is not true, then you will know the second person is also not true, the third person is also not true. Because dvaidarahitam egameva adyudeyam brahma nehananasti kinchina kinchitam nehananasti kinchina, that egam evam adyudeyam brahma, that is Upanishad statement, egam evam adyudeyam, one who has no duality is one, and adyudeyam brahma, brahma means like that, nehananasti kinchina, there is not many in that, and that awareness comes, and experience of the soul is at that point in full operation. Other words, with self-realizations, dvaita samchinna samshaya, Krishna says here, isn't it? That when Krishna says here, rishaya kshina kalmasha chinna dvaita yadatmana, chinna dvaitam has left him, and kalmasha has all gone away. Dvaitam has left him. Neha nanasti kinchana. And sometimes we say, if you analyze these things, dvaidam, chinna dvaidam, or how dvaidam leaves a person, so at that time, even for a little abhyasam, little practice of this, this truth is not very difficult to understand. Understand means not experience, but understand. You can understand also with the mind and the intelligence. In other words, some clarity will come inside. That ahankaram, when the mind pops up, false ego also pops up, and then I has come, first person has come. When the first person has come, only after that the second person comes. Isn't it? Because I have this ahankaram inside me, the first person, I am there, has come into manifest. When that is manifested, then the next thing that manifests is the second person. Because I've fallen into that state from my state of realized state. I've fallen into that state. That's why ahankaram has come. And then I recognize another false ego somewhere else in another form. That second person. Then I recognize there are so many false egos all over the world in so many forms. That's the third person. Isn't it? So first person, second person, third person are all the manifestations of this false ego inside. Nothing more than that. Of the manifestations of false ego inside. So little bit of analysis like this, if you analyze it, you can see, even if you are approaching on an intellectual level, saying, not through self-realization by or experience or realization, even in intellectual platform, this question will come. In the Vedantam, that question doesn't happen, because in the science, the question is how, where, from, why, all these questions they ask, isn't it? These are all scientific process of questioning. In spiritual life, why, how, when, all this has no meaning. Why, how, and when? You see, why, how, and when is based on this false ego, isn't it? Who is asking? False ego is asking why. False ego is asking when. False ego is asking how. When you study Bhagavad Gita from the Vedantic point of view, when you start studying, you will notice that there is a marked difference between the approach of the science and the approach from the Vedantam. It's completely different. Vedantam is much more on a subtle level, everything. Whereas science is very much on a gross level of the body, identity with the body, and from there it begins. Whereas Vedantam, it begins from the much more subtle level, from the soul, platform of the soul. So, question is that when we ask this question, they are all in the why, how, and when. All this has no meaning. Why it has no meaning? Because they are all involved in the time and space. Time and space, isn't it? Why, how, when? When you ask when, means you are in the control of time. Where, if you ask, it's the control of the space, isn't it? So, if you remember, when we talked about the mind, we said this. This mind, as this, and these three states of time, past, present, and the future. In absolute terms, there is no past, there is no present, there is no, it's only present, there is no future. Whatever that is now, that's it. There is no past and there is no future. Where is the past comes in relationship with the body? Where is future comes in relationship with the body again? Isn't it? So, from a bodily level, when you are looking at it, under the influence of time and space, all these questions of science have some meaning. When, how, where, what, and all kind of things. But if you leave that, come to understanding of the soul, platform of the soul, which is always existing, which is not temporary, which is always existing. And from the platform of the soul, if you look at it, all this has no meaning. All these questions have no meaning. Because all these questions are within the limit of time and space. And why, how, when, etc. So, at that time, in Vedantam, the question is, the genuine question is, who is the person asking the question? That's more important. Not all these other questions. You see where the difference is. In science, importance is to all the questions what you have asked. Whereas in Vedantam, those questions have no meaning. Who is asking the question? That's more important. So, Krishna also says in the Ekadasha Skandam the same thing. He keep repeating to Uddhava the same point. That more important thing is from where is this coming from, this question, isn't it? Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasudhi. Krishna says that from where did this all originate? From the beginning. That's more important to than the answer to this question. So, so ultimately you have to... Oh, it's 10 or 6, 6. Yeah. Okay. We'll see tomorrow then. Yeah. Okay. Okay.